Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ron Martin. Boys, we've got a little interlude here as we record this right before Christmas. It's just a good time, Piper, as you reminded us this morning in our pre-show production meeting, to think about inspiration. So we're gonna look at some inspirational quotes. We're going to think about 2021. We're going to dance through fields of cotton with our wives, which is something that I saw Ron Martin doing on his Christmas poster this year. Speaking of inspiration and things to be inspired by, Piper, did you get that?
He really minimalized the size this year.
Yeah, we shrink the size. It was more standard postcard size. Yeah, not suitable for framing this year.
I think that was the exact same size as last year. The sizing was no different.
Baby, I want to hear you suss out for me the happy accident that was just happening to stumble into a field of cotton and accidentally, like, I don't know, Ansel Adams was there to like photograph the moment. What was the accidental circumstance that found you like sashaying through a field of cotton?
Let me just lay it out to you like this: least accidental moment of our entire lives. Booking.
Oh, no kidding, baby. I'll be darned.
Booking said photographer 2 months in advance, planning out the location, having to cancel the first shoot because it rained on the day we were supposed to do it.
Oh, son of a gun.
Getting baby, engaged we're, again.
We're all dealing with hard things. This has been so tough for you.
Guys, 2020.
Oh, you book your photographer for the sashaying through the field of cotton and it rains. Well, son of a gun.
Then we find the right day. We're praying. We wake up. It's sunshiny.
Earnestly. You've got your flock praying too, I bet. Just the good folks of Ashland there who can really relate to this.
We did that in Ashland? Baby, let me just lay it on to you straight. We had to travel an hour and a half for this sesh, all right? Because we had to find the cotton field at the particular time of day, which, by the way, was 4:30 at this time of the year, to get that sort of sun-going down light that is the most beautiful.
It's the golden hour
for photography, yeah.
So you had to go south to get to that field of cotton. Where'd you end up? Were you in Kentucky?
Gosh, I don't know. Just some random sort of small town where this photographer lives, and she has this kind of this area that she likes to do a lot of her work in, and we just kind of follow.
She has a field of cotton.
I think she literally does have a field of cotton.
Yeah.
I think it's like Field of Cotton Limited.
It's always Field of Cotton LLC, you know. Pipe, it's always joyful to me to like look through all the Christmas cards of our friends who have like, I don't know, just gotten their families into like matching sweaters and like sat on a log or made the effort that like normal people make to get a photo taken, which is not much effort.
I will say I'm a little disappointed with the lack of matching pastel polo shirts at the beach on a sand dune photos this year. People went much more flannel and woodsy.
Yeah, the Christian community's moved away from the beach motif and kind of moved into the woods.
I mean, they're moving away from Christmas cards anyway. You know, we're sort of keeping the tradition up. Most people don't feel like they need to do it because of IG, you know what I mean? But like, you know, we're keeping it old school. And
wait, because of what? Why are people not doing it?
Because of Instagram now, there's just kind of less of like a commitment towards it because people are seeing my pictures all year and
less of a need to show people like, hey, this is what we look like.
Right, even you know? because you just saw what we looked like 10 minutes ago.
Because you see me all the live long day.
Right, yeah.
Exactly.
But you know, but if you're going to do it up, our thought is It's the philosophy of Big R with everything. Do it right. Do it up. Do it big.
Yeah. Now, can we go a couple minutes on like, because you live in a very kind of Midwestern locale.
Not kind of.
Yeah. Like I've been there. Absolutely. And how do the good people of Ashland respond to a card like that? I'm just always curious to see how these things land.
I mean, to be honest, man, the only people that respond are typically, you know, women who would just kind of write Melissa and do a little gushing over it. I mean, I don't.
Yeah. Subtext, I'm so jealous. But oh, it's so nice.
Boys, can I just be on the lev with you on this one? We did those photos and I literally, you know, Big M picked the one she liked. I just said, babe, I am going to get murdered for these photos. I mean, I'm literally going to get murdered for these photos. They're so over the top. I mean, so it was like, it was one of those things where like, I'm a little bit more on the, you know, on the playing field here with you boys, which is like you're killing me
so
here.
You know
going in that you're getting slaughtered.
Oh, because for men, these are going to be for women. These are going to be the most loved photos, the card they get all year. For men, it's just the hate is.
And you know that, like you know that John Martin is looking down on you from heaven, just like feeling so ashamed as you're sashaying through the cotton field.
I mean, it's not even close. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, who is this person that I raised, you know?
Yeah. I mean, well, literally, it's like, it's the most shaming card for men of all time, because there's not a wife that looks at those cards and doesn't then look at their husband and go, see?
I mean, could she put you in a dress next year? Can we do that? Like, can we just get that done?
I mean, yeah. I mean, if I resign, I'll send in my res letter a few weeks before our photos, and I'll wear a dress for the next votes.
There we go.
Ronnie,
I like
how long have y'all been married?
25.
Okay. I'm just wondering when the next time I have to go through this garbage is, because having gotten engaged and married in 2020, I felt like a lifetime of terrible photo shoots. I mean, the photos were great, but also the photo shoot was terrible. And so, yeah, I'm wondering how long I have until I get to experience that.
Well, I think the answer is forever. And here's a pro tip, boys. And I'm being sort of haha, but actually more serious than haha on this. So give me like 1 second. So it's one of those things where it actually saves you. It saves you a lot of grief in the end if you actually give in all the way for these photos and you just say, hey, man, let's do it. And let's not only do it, but let's do it up big. Let's do it up right. And like, so it's almost a way that you're like surprising and shocking and awing your wife every year. And I'm telling you, man,
you're playing chess, man. Everybody else is playing chess.
Absolutes, man. It just,
you got a long game going.
Because, dude, you're going to fight it. And then it makes the whole thing bad. And then you end up with just like the matching bad Christmas sweaters and the horrible photo with the weird look on the one kid's face. If you just give into it and do everything you can to be a part of the process and make it awesome, it just, the whole thing's just better in the end.
See, Piper, I have another theory. That's good, baby. Thank you for that. I think I see what you're saying. Piper, I think you will be required to do some of this at whatever point your kids are out of the house. Because when you're actively raising kids, like, there's just no time for goofiness like this. There's no time for nonsense. But, you know, the kids get out of the house. It's just the two of you. You're kind of trying to fill the time. And then, you know, before you know it, you're in a field of cotton. You know what I mean? So
that's a fair point.
Yeah. You got a few years before this happens, but it's probably going to happen to both of us. My kids are, so I've got one going to college next year. And then the other one, we got a few more years on here at the house.
Yeah, you're in the absolute worst spot right now for things of that nature. But at some point soon, Double K is going to be like, I just think we should do a nice photo shoot, because it kind of works for just like family photos. But when it's just the two of you, you can kind of make we made a whole night and a date out of it. You just make a thing out of it, you know? Like, it's no big deal. It's no big.
Sure.
And baby, I think you liked it. I think you liked it more than you're letting on.
You know what's funny? I mean, I know that's the ha-ha. I actually don't love it. And I felt like by the end of the night, after dinner, travel, photos, I was out like $7,500. And so, you know,
Ramsey would approve of that.
Right. There is a little bit of that. So, I mean, we need to get that second book deal just to offset this thing at this point, you know?
Ansel Adams doesn't come cheap. Is he still alive, by the way?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was alive in October when we did our shoot.
Have you been on Instagram? Exactly. Everyone's Ansel Adams now. Come on now.
Exactly.
Ronnie, did you at least get a new professional headshot out of this? Like, that's always my goal in these photo shoots, is like, all right, I'm going to go do this embarrassing thing, but I'm going to get at least two pictures out of this that, like, when the publisher's like, hey, we need the photo for the website or the back of the book, it's like, here. This one was thrown in since I was being forced to do this thing.
No, Pipe, you know what's so funny, dude? It's so funny you say that, right? Because we're going down there, and I brought like a bunch of outfit changes because I said, hey, I'm going to ask her to get me some like promo shots. And Big M...
outfit changes in a cotton field.
Well, right. I mean, you know, that was a little awkward, but I'll get into that in another pod. But like, so she goes, you can't do that. And I said, what do you mean I can't do that? I go, she's just snapping shots. I go, why can't I get like a couple of head promo shots? She goes, because that's not what we hired her to do. I said, babe, it's literally no different if you step away for 4 seconds and she gets a shot. It's not going to cut. And like, so we got into this big thing about it, right? And we get there. And her name's Adrian. I'm like, Adrian, is it crazy if I asked you to get me a couple of like promo shots, like in the midst of all this? She goes, oh yeah, as many as you want. No big deal.
Dude, describe Adrian.
How big was Adrian's fedora?
Yeah, I want to get into Adrian a little bit here, like visually.
Adrian is a female, and it was quite large, Pipe.
Big fedora. Are we talking like, you know, college girl with a nose ring and like a wrist tattoo? Or are we talking like middle-aged hippie?
No, this is like older pro, has like done solid cool stuff, saw like paying her $1 million. Like, She's nobody's fool photographer, like using an actual camera and all the stuff.
Is she married to somebody with a full time, like, salaried income? And so this is the kind of thing she can select which weekends she does. And she's like, you know, I'm going to work these 18 weekends a year and make, you know, whatever, $225,000.
Pipe. I mean, you couldn't be more accurate. And I'll just say one thing to sum up everything that you said. Last December, they spent like the entire Christmas month vacationing in Iceland or something like that. That's her.
Of course they did. Her husband's like the CEO of Monsanto. This is like a fun little side.
It's something like that, to where it's like the fact that she even like said, yeah, I'll take your photo. We were looking at each other going, okay, that's weird. I guess we just have to pay her whatever she wants and make it on the back end of our third book or something.
How'd you find her, dude? How do you scale like value in that industry? Because I see like college kids with iPhones taking amazing pictures. Like, how do you decide to pull the trigger on an Adrian?
Dude, Adrian, it was one of those things, man. We met her accidentally and she liked us.
Was it an accident for her or was she like scouting?
No. It was an accident all the way around. We were at some little hipster shindiggy thing and we met her and that's kind of what happened. And it just kind of led into like, oh, you're a photographer. Oh, okay. Oh, you do that. Oh,
you're a photographer. We love getting our pictures taken.
Oh, look, I see your Instagram and, you know, this is going to be, again, this is going to be crazy someday when we use you to take our photos. Here we are.
Did you sign the thing that said she could use your photos for promo purposes?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the deal.
Oh, begrudgingly, Piper. They would hate that.
I mean, really. Yeah, I mean, dude. When you work with talent like that, boys, it's like they basically own the photos at the end of the day. Mm. Yeah.
Adrian's getting residuals on these photos.
I've already sent her 5 royalty checks from our book deal. Like, she got part of my advance. So.
Wow. Well, another trip to Iceland, I'm sure, on that money. Well, it's like Spurgeon always said,
so
boys.
Passe. She's heading to like New Zealand or
somewhere. Iceland is so pat. Iceland's so 2018.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What did Spurgeon say, baby? What was that quote you were going to toss at us? Just nonchalantly like that?
Nonchalantly. Always be in a field of cotton getting images made of yourself. The Prince of Preachers, always there with wisdom. Speaking of wisdom, boys, I have something else that I want the Prince of Yoda Preachers to parse for us. And it's some images that Piper sent along in our pre-production meeting of like this inspiration thing, like inspirational quote sending. And this is like, to me, it kind of hit me as like secular Yoda. I want Ronald to parse this for us, Piper. It's called Choose Your Hard. Is that like a brand? Like Choose Your Hard is like a thing and they send out quotes?
I would guess it's like a hashtag, but I wouldn't be surprised if somebody turns it into a line of clothing that will draw the occasional, you know, that I'm sure it would have big business if somebody did that for a variety of reasons.
Exactly. Big business, which is something we would know about on this program. So I'm going to read this, and I want Ron to talk about how it's similar to and different than his Yoda work. And then, Piper, we can get into the psychology behind, like, shooting out these quotes. Here we go. Choose your hard. Marriage is hard. Divorce is hard. Choose your hard. Obesity is hard. Being fit is hard. Choose your hard. Baby, what are you laughing at? Is something funny happening off camera there in your studio?
No, that's Pipe laughing. I'm good, man. I'm straight.
Okay. Communication is hard. Not communicating is hard. Actually, not communicating is awesome. Say,
that's really easy.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the easiest thing. Choose your hard. Life will never be easy. It will always be hard. But we can choose our hard. Pick wisely.
Mm.
Yeah.
Ready to go run through probably not a wall, something via hedge.
I'm ready to go run through a field of cotton is what I'm ready to do. Okay, Ronald.
Yeah.
PhD, working on that PhD in progress, you know, PhD in Yoda work. How does this strike you as a Yoda man?
You know, boy, if I'm being honest, man, there's no reason to ever lie, it just sounds a little basic.
Mm-hmm.
And like Yoda was never basic.
Yoda was never meant to be basic, was it?
And so this to me feels like it's kind of like gym class Yoda work. It's a little like, it's a little over inspirational. It's a little too rah-rah, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like you're lifting weights and you got a guy in your ear like saying this to you. You know, it's like one of those things. Like I'm just getting you to just like kind of tuck under a few extra lbs right there while I whisper this sweet nothing in your ear, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a little basic for me, man. I don't know what else to say other than like, okay, like the first time he says choose your hard, you kind of go, huh, okay. Mm-hmm. And then like the 19th time you read it, I think it's like, I just want to know a lot more things about the guy that like came up with this quote at this point, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of cheeky. It's kind of clever the first time. It's kind of a one-off Yoda deal to me. But it looks like the kind of thing that there's a whole sort of groundswell of support for.
Yeah. I mean, boys, it's no plenary sesh at the Gospel Coalition. Let's be honest. You know, I mean.
No, and that's the goal. I mean, that's the mountain you're climbing. By the way, any progress there?
Oh, what? TGC?
TGC.
Oh. No, I don't. No, zero progress.
Breakouts, dude?
Oh, no. I don't think I'm on TGC.
On the blended kind of hybrid conference?
I mean, I don't think I'm on the radar, man. I love TGC. I just don't think TGC, you know, is regards me.
Doing a plenary is hard. Not doing a plenary is hard. Choose your hard. Money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Both are hard. Right now, I'm choosing not to because I don't have a choice. There's my Yoda tweet coming back at that Yoda tweet.
Yeah, I like it. I like Yoda War.
Yeah, I'm choosing my heart because I don't have a choice, man. There you go. There's that one right there.
Pipe, it's like the rap battles in the late 90s. We could start it. A Yoda War between Ronald and whomever this gentleman is.
See if we could spin it off into a movie. Like, you know, there was 8 Mile. See if we could get, like, Ashtown, the Yoda off.
Ashtown, the Yoda Wars, yeah.
If you would just tweet that line, I'll come back at it, man. I'll start a Yoda War with you, and you know, it'd be great.
The whole movie would be just 2 hours of, like, middle-aged men just sitting in their respective hipster coffee shops, like, diddling their phones. That would be scintillating television.
I mean, I think you're just describing Twitter right now, Big T, to be honest.
I know, baby. I know it.
I noticed something really funny about this. I mean, aside from the fact that it's nonsense, there's a whole, you can sound way more deep than you are by turning an adjective into a noun. Like, choose your hard. Hard is not a noun. Hard is an adjective. And so, like, you can do that with anything. You know, yeah. Choose your tall.
Ooh.
Choose your fast. Yeah. Choose your, like, it, and all of a sudden, you sound, you know, 12% more inspirational than you were. Maybe, like, 22%. I don't know. All you have to do is abuse language and you sound smarter, apparently.
Brilliant, man. That's
it really is. There.
Like, you peel back the curtain on it and you see the process a little bit.
All right, choose your hungry. Oh, that one would totally work because hungry is like every inspirational guy's favorite thing, you know. Yeah, what are you hungry for? Choose your hungry.
Guys, in a funnier world, we would just call our book Choose Your Heart.
Oh. Well, it's not too late. I mean, that cover hasn't been designed yet.
Oh, what about Choose Your Happy?
Oh.
That's good.
Yep, no bad ideas right now, boys. I like it.
I mean, there are some bad ideas, but...
Speaking of, you sent along another inspirational quote. And let me read it. And I want to get in on the kind of psychology behind sending this stuff out. Here it is. Thought for today. 12/21/20. So this was the thought for 2 days ago, to be fair, when we're recording this. There are two types of pain in life. The pain of self-discipline, the pain of regret. The pain of self-discipline is eased by the reward of daily progress. The pain of regret increases with missed opportunities and age.
Dude, that is so confusing. I don't even know what you just said. And if I read it 9 more times, I don't think I still
It really
would.
Is. It's really opaque. And like the pain of regret increases with missed opportunities and age. So does that mean everyone who's aging is like increasingly feeling the pain of regret?
I mean, I guess that's true, but like...
Maybe it's missed opportunities plus age. So like if you don't miss any opportunities as you get older, it doesn't increase?
I think so. I think there's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot here.
Have you guys missed any opportunities?
Yeah, just about 10,000. But I mean that.
Oh, exactly.
Sucks to be you. Looks like your pain's increasing.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt.
Well, guys, some of us have to pay for photo shoots, you know, Cotton Field. So
you didn't miss that opportunity.
I was going to say, didn't miss that one.
That's right.
And neither did Adrian.
Yeah, that's my one regret, Adrian. Is that I didn't miss my my cotton field for sure.
Dude, how's the chatter with Adrian in the aftermath?
I'm doing a personal photo shoot with Adrian.
Of course you are. Where is that taking place? Empty factory or field?
I don't know, man, because I didn't get satisfactory photo. I didn't get satisfactory promos from her because of the pressure of feeling like I was doing something wrong, even though she like gave us the green on it. So I'm going back to like kind of redo it a little bit.
I would encourage a downtown intersection in an area, you know, where you get like the kind of out of focus city lights or like Main Street lights in the background. That's always a good look. Also, abandoned alley. Those are good ones. If you can get like the fire escape ladder kind of in the background, those would be
Piper,
good.
Piper, I feel like the one with cars is like, that's a good business guy look. That's a good leadership look. But I'm not sure that's what our boy's trying to cultivate. Let me think. Abandoned warehouse, I think, is played for him.
Yeah, that's where the church is. So you got to go somewhere slightly different than that.
Dude, can we get him on a boat? Since Sojourn is now like, I don't know, like nautically themed. It's like a Long John Silver's now. Can we get him on a boat?
What kind of boat are we thinking about? Like a crab boat where he's in like a full-on yellow rubber, like...
Nah, that's too much work.
You guys are so out to line. It's like you guys have never met me right now.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking Piper, and stay with me. One of those like long sort of tan wooden boats that like rich guys drive around in Monte Carlo. Let's get him on one of those.
Oh, like the old school wood speedboats?
Like the old school wood speedboats.
But like in every James Bond boat chase scene.
Yes.
I might do that if I have the right like suit. I would do that if I had the right suit.
But get some people of all ethnicities on there with him to convey that he's still like a man of the people somehow. You know what I mean?
I'll do whatever like Carrie Newhoff, whatever his name is, does.
I don't know who that is.
Pipe, who is that guy? Who's that guy, man?
Yeah, Carrie Newhoff is a like former pastor and now like leadership guy in he's Canadian.
His last name is so confusing.
Hey, help me spell his name.
Neuwhoff.
I want to look up what he looks like. So Carrie, like Kerry?
No, Carey, maybe. And then it's his last name is Neuwhoff.
Yeah, the most confusing last name of all time.
I'm doing a little image search here. Let's look at Carrie. Ooh. Yeah, so Carrie's going with kind of... This is a totally different aesthetic.
Yeah, he's super... That's super... That's like corporate-y, man.
Yeah, it's very corporate.
When he's very Canadian as well. That's a whole other thing going on.
That's true. Yeah, very like black t-shirt under a blazer kind of deal here with Carrie Newhoff. Nah, this isn't what we're looking for, man. I think Pipe and I need to spend some more time on this.
It's not because I don't really want to be successful. So,
no, I think Ronnie needs to lean into the Wendell Berry type of thing. So what we need is like, we need like rustic farmhouse with like hay fields in the background kind of thing, or like, and he's just kind of on the front porch in a working at a table, rocking chair, that kind of thing.
Can we get him on a tractor?
No, that's a little, again,
that's a little agrarian. Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking like the I'd like to be Wendell Berry, not I am Wendell Berry. Like Wendell Berry would drive a tractor, but you know Ronnie would sit at the house and watch Wendell Berry drive a tractor.
Boys, this is great. I'm just all ears. Let me just listen to how you're designing it for me. It's great.
Yeah, take notes.
At some point, I'll reintroduce myself to you, and we'll become friends. It'll be great.
I have a question about this thought for the day. There are two types of pain in life, and then he tells us there's the self-discipline and the pain of regret. Is that it?
I feel like there's way more types of pain than that.
Yeah. I feel like neither of these... Well, and then he goes on to... Basically, what he's saying is there's two types of pain, and they're both your fault.
Yeah, that's right.
I feel like maybe that's not true.
Yeah. I think you're right on that not being true. I think there are way more types of pain than this gentleman is indicating.
Yeah. It seems to me that there might also be, like, the pain of somebody else was a jerk.
Yeah. Yeah, or the pain of just this random thing happened to me that was unpleasant or whatever.
The pain of, you know, I lost something outside of my control and that hurts too. Like, there's that one. There's at least two more. What would be the, like, Yoda responses to those? So how do I resolve those pains? You know, if the pain of self-discipline is eased by the reward of daily progress, what's the pain of so-and-so hurt me because they're mean? How do I ease that one?
Ronald?
Yeah, this. I feel like we're into the pastoral Yoda tweeting now, because like we need a real pastoral response to this.
I mean,
nonsense.
I go, you know, a nice piece of cake, some afternoon coffee.
Like Spurgeon said. Actually, Spurgeon would say that.
Yeah, probably. Spurgeon probably would. He'd be like, here, light up a cigar and have a muffin.
I mean, seriously, yeah. Man. I mean, let's just be honest, man. That's really what we want. We just need a little comfort food. So go out, man. Spend some of your advance money on a nice meal, and I think that'll go a long way. You know,
but then you have the regret of overeating, and then you got to get into the gym and expunge that regret. So it's I feel like it's a never ending kind of wheel.
Or I think that one's the self-discipline one though, right?
I think so. Now, Piper, talk me through the psychology of, so you're this guy and you got this little pithy, like witticism rolling around in your head. Your feet hit the ground at 4:41 AM because nobody grinds harder than you. You tweet that out. Like,
because you chose you're hungry.
You chose you're hungry. That's right. Like, what are you getting from that? Like, what's the end game here? What is this guy trying to accomplish? Because it's not helping people, obviously. It's just wanting to look a certain way. So what is the end game?
It's not helping people, obviously. You know, I think there's probably two options. One is, well, there's probably three options. One is you've deluded yourself into thinking you're helping somebody, despite saying abjectly nonsensical things. Two is you're living for the likes and the retweets, because there seems to be an inexhaustible audience who have chosen they're hungry and they are hungry for vapid inspirational content. And then the third option, knowing who this guy is that this feeds the brand that sells the leadership books that say the same thing over and over again, most of which is not terribly helpful.
True. Has there ever been a less costly way to quote unquote help somebody than this? I mean, you could literally like walk out your front door, I don't know, give somebody a sandwich or like a bottle of water or just like, I don't know. This seems like the least costly means of helping ever invented.
Saying nonsense?
Yes, saying nonsense. Not even saying it. You're not even like using your throat to say it. You're just like typing it into your phone.
Yeah, you can literally do this from the comfort of your own bed.
Yes. And afterward, you can feel like, well, son of a gun, you guys, I did it. I helped some people.
I bettered the world today.
Doggone it. I'm a good person. I mean, it's really amazing.
I mean, that's just choosing your hard. You want to, you know, that's just the hard that you've
chosen. I think choosing your easy, actually. You
know? Right.
Do you want to help people in a significant way or not help people?
You know, far be it from me, Pipe, to tell somebody else what's easy and what's hard. You know, I mean, I think you just did your own Yoda tweet right there.
That's true. I mean, who of us can say?
I have a question about the psychology of this as well, which is there's the fascinating psychology of posting this, but I think that's more understandable because you're like, oh, you're playing on other people's appetite for this stuff. I'm curious about the people who have the, like, what causes somebody to read this and go, oh, man, that boy, that scratched where I itched today.
That's a great question, Piper. I have absolutely no idea.
Like, I don't even know how to like inch my way towards that headspace.
I don't either. That's like the Iceland as compared to like our Tennessee in terms of distances away. Yeah, I don't know, baby. Any insight?
Like, Pipe, you're asking like in terms of like receiving that. Like, how would that? Like, yes. You're asking like how would that? How could I begin to understand how this could inspire me?
Yeah, so the person posts this with whatever motive, but somebody reads it and then thinks, this is worth reposting because it so moved me. Mm. How? Or
you know,
why?
You know what's weird? Okay, so check it out. We're like, okay, so we're typically around so many church people, right? It's interesting. I'm being kind of serious right now. So it's interesting when you get around somebody who, you know, is not a believer. And it just sort of has this more like, I'm a good guy. I'm trying to do what's right. I'm a moral person. And it's weird because like I got this dude now, right now. Oh, gosh, there's a chance he could listen to this. So I'm going to keep this discreet, but there's this dude I kind of work with a little bit right now and he's not a believer. Right. And so what's so fascinating about him is he's a really good guy. He's like a guy that's always trying to do better. He's trying to do the right thing. And so the stuff that he, I'm not making this up, man. So like the stuff he says to me, he'll turn to me and he'll say stuff like what you just read. And like, that's the stuff that speaks to him. You know, it's like this, it's almost like this stuff that like kind of, it puts a possibility in his head that he has no way of actually accomplishing or working out or executing, but he likes it because it gives him kind of something to think about and almost like a goal, like over the top of the mountain that's so beyond him that he kind of gets to think like, maybe someday I'll work up to pursuing something and bettering myself to the point where I can embrace something like that. And so it's weird. It really is like this weird mentality because he really does kind of like, he's constantly kind of like in the trenches of those kinds of philosophies with me. And dude, it's totally fascinating.
Oh, totally. It's sort of like we talked about before how TED Talks, back when TED Talks were a thing, they're like sermons for secular people. Like if you're a secular person, if you have no interest in, you know, God or the Bible or eternity or whatever, like you're kind of hitting that TED Talk for a little secular homily or sermon. And I think these kind of tweets are in that same wheelhouse.
This is what I found too with this dude. And he's a really great guy too in that sense. But like, it's just without Christ, the only option you have is self-improvement, right?
Right.
So if you are somebody who does care about like being a good person, being a moral person, helping others, ultimately it sort of snaps back. It sort of re-triggers back on yourself as just a form of self-improvement, because it really is at the end of the day, like your highest aim in life is going to be self-improvement if it lacks Christ, you know? I'm simplifying this whole thing, right? But that's really what he's always going after, is self-improvement to the benefit of others too. Like I'm becoming better. And by being better in this area, quote unquote, like it really is going to be a benefit like to this person over here, but it still ultimately just goes back to self-improvement. Yeah.
I think there's something also sort of like a kind of a narcotic effect of positivity. I mean, it's like how Tony Robbins has made his millions by saying nothing over the years. It's just like the power of positive thinking, mind over matter kind of thing. So you read something like this and you're like, man, that's inspiring, because it just sort of pushes in a generally positive direction. But when it's just generally positive, you don't have any measuring stick to go, what is it about this that matters, that is real, that's genuine, that's true? All you have is sort of like, that feels positive. So I'm gonna sink my teeth into that one.
Yeah, the baseline is, does it help me or does it not help me? And also with that, right, there's that relativistic aspect of it. Like, it might help me and it's okay if it doesn't help you, but the only thing I can be concerned about is whether it helps me, whether you feel the benefit of that help or not. Mm-hmm. It's just weird.
It is. It's fascinating. And in some ways, like, total hat tip to this guy, because yeah, again, like semi-serious talk here. I don't know that I would have any interest in self-improvement apart from Christ. Like, if I didn't know Christ, I don't know. I don't know that I would be fighting that kind of battle, you know, to my detriment, obviously. So the fact that people are, you know, hungry for something in that realm, I mean, maybe it's proof that we're created in God's image. You know, there's some like hungering for self-improvement there. It's interesting to think about for sure. Well, boys, we've done what we always do on this program, which is wander from a cotton field in northern Ohio to the world of secular Yoda inspirational tweeting. And before I wrap it, Piper, tell us about something that's truly inspirational, which is the Dwell Bible app.
Yeah, truly positive. This is a truly positive direction to take your life, folks. The Dwell Bible app, it's an audio Bible app. If you've listened before, you've heard us talk about it. If you go to dwellapp.io/happyrant, you can check it out, check out their features, their listening plans, their various narrators and musical backgrounds, and whatever else it is that you would be looking for. They are constantly improving as well. There is a subscription fee, but if you go through that link, again, dwellapp.io/happyrant, you get a 20% discount. It's less than $2 a month. It's a great way to get more scripture into your life, whether that's in the car or while you're working out or doing chores or whatever it is, whenever you would be listening to a podcast or an audiobook, you can do this instead for at least some of that time. And it's really fruitful. I use it mostly for memorization and study. I find it really helpful. So again, go to dwellapp.io/happyrant. Check it out. And you can actually give it to other people as well. So if you already have it, but you know somebody who would like it or would benefit from it, you can give a gift card or sign them up for it. And it's a great way to give a gift as well. So check that out, dwellapp.io/happyrant. You will not be disappointed.
Love it. And boys, enjoy some Redbud City Coffee Roasters this Christmas. Gathered around the hearth with kith and kin.
What is kith?
I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. But I know that Kith and Ken will enjoy a hot cup of Redbud City coffee. Redbudcoffee.com.
Yeah, and use the code HAPPYRENT. You get a 10% discount.
Absolutely, and we get a little piece of the action, which at the end of the day, these photo shoots and fields don't finance themselves, boys. I don't have to tell you that.
Yeah, Ronnie's got to pay Adrian, so go check out Redbud.
There's real sacrifice there, and buying Redbud City will help. Finally, bit of business. New talks. New discussions in the work with Missional Wear, our current and former clothing provider. The relationship had cooled a little bit. We'd become a little distant, but we're getting back together. We're rekindling.
But then we realized that communication is hard and not communicating is hard, and we chose our hard.
You know what, Piper? Having branded gear is hard, and not having branded gear is hard. And I think we've seen both sides of that in 2020. So we're going to choose the hard thing of getting back together with Missional Wear to create some new products, some new branded Happy Rant gear for people to enjoy. So you can look forward to that in 2021. And boys, we have done what we always do. From the cotton fields of Northern Ohio to the wonders of secular Yoda Twitter, until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
I found myself on a ledge, three stories high at some condominiums, contemplating my life and struggling to understand my purpose. Have you ever found yourself on a ledge? My name is Billy Ant. I'm a caring father, mentor, and friend. In my new podcast, Billy and the Goat, I share the life-changing events that shaped who I am today to remind you that no matter how far you've fallen, God can help you get up and thrive. Listen now at lifeaudio.com.